Welcome to the Confluence Investment Management Biweekly Geopolitical Report for September 9th, 2024. I'm Phil Adler. Is a strong U.S. dollar a good or bad thing for investors? Confluence Chief Market Strategist Patrick Fearon-Hernandez joins us today to discuss prospects for the dollar in a fracturing world. First, Patrick, what index do you rely on or what process do you use to measure the strength of the U.S. dollar?
First of all, thanks for having me on the show, Phil. Here at the macro group at Confluence, I'd say we rely most on the Federal Reserve's Broad Dollar Index, which tracks the strength of the greenback against more than two dozen other currencies. It also has different flavors, such as a sub-index for developed countries only and another for emerging markets. But of course, there are several other popular indexes, such as the narrower U.S. Dollar Index and a similar Wall Street Journal dollar index. While the two latter ones only track the dollar against about a half a dozen other currencies, all these indexes can be useful and readily available to track the average change in the dollar strength versus other currencies over time.
And what do these calculations reveal about the strength of the dollar today?
Well, overall, it's a pretty simple story. The dollar remains in the bull market it started more than a decade ago. It's a bit off its record high of late 2022, but it remains historically very strong against most other major currencies.
Why, Patrick, has the dollar remained so strong even while our public debt is rising and the U.S. trade deficit remains very large?
I think that the way to think of it is that the U.S. remains relatively much more attractive as an investment destination than most other countries. Our big, deep, well-regulated capital markets are attractive to foreign investors with large amounts of money to put to work, and our relatively good economic growth and dynamism hold out the potential for good returns. In a nutshell, those factors seem to be offsetting the negative factors such as high debt and deficits. We may have problems, but compared with other countries, our problems are more manageable, and we have better economic dynamics and potential investment returns. As foreigners pile into U.S. assets, it helps drive up the value of the dollar.
Now, you discuss in your report several factors that might cause a deterioration in the dollar's strength. First, U.S. politics. Could it be in our national interest for our government to try to steer the dollar lower?
Yes, that seems clear. As the world continues to throw money at the U.S. capital markets and drives up the dollar's value, that makes U.S. exports more costly to foreigners, and it means that imports are cheaper to U.S. residents. That's probably a big reason for the loss of factories to other countries over the decades, and so because of that, so many leaders, both Republican and Democratic, are looking for ways to protect the U.S. industrial sector. Pushing down the value of the dollar would likely help that by boosting U.S. exports and making imports more expensive again.
And Patrick, you suggest in your report that the dollar might drift lower simply because it appears to be overvalued. Now, how do you measure overvaluation?
Well, when it comes to currencies, that is a tricky question. First, even though there are indexes to track the average value of the dollar really has value only against specific other currencies in terms of a currency pair. At any given time, the dollar can buy more or less of the other currency in the pair compared with history. But you can also model the value of the dollar with regard to certain economic indicators, such as the relative level of price inflation in the U.S. versus the other country, or the amount of capital investment taking place in the U.S. If the dollar is historically high or low against those indicators, it gives you a sense of whether the dollar is overvalued or undervalued.
Your title this week suggests that a fracturing world might also put pressure on the dollar. How?
Yes, one of the things that theoretically could put downward pressure on the dollar is if other big powerful countries stop using it for trade and investment. The idea is that weaker demand for the dollar for these types of transactions would undermine its value. These days, as the world fractures into relatively separate geopolitical and economic blocks, we've seen how China, Russia, Iran, and other countries closely allied with them are trying to get away from using the greenback so that U.S. financial sanctions can't be wielded against them. But note, even though these countries in China's bloc are trying hard to cut their use of the dollar, the greenback remains in its long-standing bull market. Again, these countries could theoretically weaken the dollar, but it's not happening yet.
Won't the dollar at least remain predominant within the U.S. sphere of geographical influence?
Exactly, and that's a key message in my report. Remember, the evolving U.S. bloc is basically today's rich, highly industrialized, technologically advanced liberal democracies and a few closely related emerging markets. As global frictions increase, these countries have lots of incentives to keep coalescing with the U.S., so their trade and investment relationships with the U.S. are likely to continue much as they are today. In other words, the dollar should retain much of its attractiveness against the other currencies in the U.S. bloc, such as the euro, the yen, the pound, the Australian dollar, etc.
You've mentioned how China, Russia, and the other countries allied with them are trying to get away from using the dollar, but the dollar remains in a bull market. I'd like to dig just a little bit deeper on this. How has the dollar performed against these currencies, currencies of countries like China, which are trying to reduce their dependence on the U.S. currency?
Well, that's one of the really interesting things I discovered in researching this report. Since 2006, just about the time when the dollar began its bull market, the greenback has appreciated against most currencies in the Fed's broad dollar index. But ironically, it's appreciated most against the currencies in the China-led geopolitical bloc, such as the Russian ruble. It points up how the actions of China, Russia, and other countries to stop using the dollar just hasn't weakened the greenback against even those countries' own currencies.
My eyes were opened a bit by one of your other findings in your report. Now, I've always assumed and perhaps feared that if the dollar declines, inflation will rise. Is that fear legitimate?
You're right. We suspect that that's the real concern when clients ask us so often about our outlook for the dollar. And of course, even though the greenback is now in a bull market, it has gone into bear markets at times, as in the mid-1980s and the early 2000s. It certainly can happen. All the same, our analysis shows that there is virtually no correlation between the dollar's strength, as measured by the Fed's broad index, and inflation, as measured by the consumer price index. And I think that makes sense, given that international trade is a relatively small part of the U.S. economy. Going forward, we think the bigger driver of inflation will be factors like the shortened, less efficient supply chains that are being built to protect against global fracturing and the potential that the China bloc could weaponize its vast commodity resources against us. We think that's the bigger concern.
Patrick, my takeaway from your report is that the dollar, in spite of challenges, is likely to remain strong. But even if it does lose some strength, damaging inflation is unlikely to result. Am I on the right track?
Yes, I think that's the key takeaway. Even if the dollar does go into a new bear market, it doesn't look like that alone would necessarily boost U.S. inflation by much.
Now, as we look at investment implications, foreign equities, it would seem, would benefit if the dollar does decline. I guess my question is, if the dollar does remain strong, but perhaps drifts slightly lower over time, are foreign equities well positioned? Are they broadly attractive simply because they might be currently undervalued?
Well, what I'm trying to say in the report is that if the dollar stays strong for now, it'll probably be hard for foreign equities to provide major, long-lasting outperformance, just like they've struggled in many recent years. There will still be opportunities with particular countries and companies, especially since many of them indeed appear to be undervalued. There will also be some value still in diversifying with foreign stocks. All the same, for a major turn toward big, long-lasting outperformance for foreign stocks, you might need to wait for the dollar to go into an outright new bear market.
Do you think a downward drift in the dollar would give a meaningful further boost to commodities like gold, whose prices are already surging because of other factors?
I think it could help, especially since many globally traded commodities are traditionally invoiced and traded in dollars. A new period of weakness in the dollar should be reflected in higher prices for those commodities. But again, the dollar's impact can be offset by other factors, such as excess supplies on the world market, geopolitical developments, and the like.
Finally, Patrick, is there a reasonable scenario existing today that might cause a sudden and dramatic drop in the value of the dollar?
Beyond a potential deliberate policy to weaken the dollar or a revaluation by international investors, a new bear market in the greenback might require a crisis of some sort, such as a default on U.S. Treasury obligations or something like that. But just to reiterate one more time, all those scenarios are merely possibilities at this point. As of right now, we're not seeing clear signs of any impending weakening of the dollar in the very near term.
Thank you, Patrick. Our discussion today is based upon sources and data believed to be accurate and reliable. Opinions and forward-looking statements expressed are subject to change without notice, and this information does not constitute a solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any security. Our audio engineer is Dane Stoll. I'm Phil Adler.